Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
As we consider David's final departing instructions, not only to Solomon, but also to Israel in general, we must take careful note as to what his focus was. David recognized the importance of organized worship. The building of the temple was not simply going to be the construction of an ornate edifice. The building of the temple and all that was associated with it was intended to glorify God. As we saw in our last lesson, David divided the Levites into specific groups. He had 24,000 separated specifically for temple work. He put aside 6,000 to act as officers and judges. He had 4,000 appointed as porters, and David also had 4,000 dedicated as musicians. We also saw how David divided Aaron's sons into 24 specific orders. In this lesson, we will be looking at the last five chapters of 1 Chronicles. Chapter 25 deals with the number and offices of the singers. We read specifically that David, along with his captains, had divided the sons of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun into three particular groups: those who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. The purpose of music as part of worship was not to entertain. Unfortunately, if we look around us today in many modern churches, it seems that the sole purpose of music is to entertain the attendees. Here, we see it is just the opposite. They are using various musical instruments, but the purpose is to bring the Word of God and to honor and glorify Him. Matthew Henry notes, David put those in order who were appointed to be singers and musicians in the temple. To prophesy in this place means praising God with great earnestness and devout affections under the influences of the Holy Spirit. In raising these affections, poetry and music were employed. If the Spirit of God does not put life and fervor into our devotions, they will, however ordered, be a lifeless, worthless form. This is a good lesson to keep in mind when we attend our worship services. We also see in this chapter 24 divisions, again, with a total number of 288 people chosen by casting lots for their respective duties, regardless of their age or level of experience. It is important to understand that this information is not simply recorded in Scripture so we know the history of how all of this took place. Rather, David is setting forth patterns that would be imitated by the post-exilic community as it reestablished the proper worship of God once they returned from captivity. Chapter 26 records how the porters, or the gatekeepers, were divided and chosen. First, we have the divisions of the families, and secondly, we have the specific gates assigned to these groups. Once again, we see how the gates are chosen by casting lots, and they did not rely on the age or talent of the individuals. In addition to guarding the temple gates, there were additional responsibilities that these men had. Some were in charge of equipment. Some took care of the treasuries. Some were involved with the specific articles for temple service, others for oil and spices and baking, and some were involved with maintaining the supply rooms. Everything was laid out clearly and in order concerning what the tasks and responsibilities were for all who were involved in the service of the Lord. We could also infer from the language used that some were stationed at entryways to buildings and intersections within the city. So some of these gatekeepers functioned as guards for the temple to prevent theft or illegal entry into sacred areas. The next chapter deals with leadership, both military and civilian. The military leaders appear in two lists as leaders of army divisions and officers. The description we are given here is of a permanent standing army, not a volunteer militia. Each division contains 24,000 men. Next, we have the list of the officers, or the princes of the tribes. And here we have names, but no numbers. Verses 23 and 24 tell us why. But David took not the number of them from 20 years old and under, because the Lord had said he would increase Israel like to the stars of the heavens. Job, the son of Zeruiah, began to number, but he finished not, because there fell wrath forward against Israel. Neither was the number put in the account of the Chronicles of King David. This is, of course, when David attempted to take a census of the nation. The final group mentioned in this chapter are the officials who are in charge of all of David's property. The first section lists some of the items that these people looked after, such as storehouses, watchtowers, workers, vineyards, and many other things. The final verses add some additional leaders who played a variety of important roles in David's kingdom. It appears that the author of these chronicles wanted to make it very clear that all of Israel supported Solomon as much as they had supported David. The closing chapters covered David's address, both to all the people and to Solomon. David calls the people to assemble. Once again, David shares his desire for building a temple for the Lord. He reiterates how it was his heart's desire to do so, but it was not the Lord's will. He mentions that it was his intention to build a house for the Ark of the Covenant. David viewed the ark as God's royal footstool, which of course would need a palace in which to reside. Since David had spent most of his life fighting enemies within the land, David continues to explain, God would not use him to build the temple because he was a warrior who had shed much blood. And even though David would not be the one used to build the temple, God still favored his descendants and specifically chose Solomon for this task. David reminds the people of the importance of keeping God's law and commandments. And he also specifically addresses Solomon and tells him to serve God with a perfect heart, willingly, because God sees and knows everything we do. David says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off. Basically, David is saying, Solomon, be careful. God has chosen you for this task, so be strong and do it well. So essentially, David orders Solomon to be careful and to follow all the commands, to acknowledge the God of his father, and to serve wholeheartedly and with a willing mind. Now, David gives Solomon the plans for the temple. The first part is for the actual building of the temple structure. The second part is related to the courts of the temple and the various treasuries of the complex. It is important to note that David does not take credit for these plans, but rather specifically says these were inspired by the Spirit. The third part is relating to the Ark of the Covenant. David is very detailed, including the type of precious metals that should be used and their weights. Chapter 29 parallels quite a bit of what has already been said. David again mentions that Solomon's inexperience was a factor to be considered. He also summarizes all of the materials he has set aside for the building of the temple. So he asks them, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? The response seems to be unanimous. The people also give of their own wealth to contribute to this incredible project. Not only do they willingly give a tremendous amount, they are also rejoicing over the fact that they were willing to do this. We read in verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. David concludes this meeting and assembly with all the people with thanksgiving and prayer. David blesses the Lord and gives thanks for all of God's blessings. David also acknowledges that neither he nor the people deserve any of this. Anything they have, everything they have, has come from God. David also recognizes the brevity of life as he says, our days here upon earth are but a shadow. Then he commends all of the materials that have been gathered for the construction of the temple into God's hands. He asks God to keep the heart of the people pure and to give Solomon a heart that desires to keep God's commandments and testimonies, and to also help him build the temple. Following David's prayer, all the people bless the Lord and worship him. They also perform many sacrifices on the following day and celebrate with a great feast. And then we read that they publicly made Solomon king the second time. So ended the reign of David. After reigning a total of 40 years, 7 in Hebron, and 33 in Jerusalem, David died at a very old age.